welcome to another thrilling episode of your favourite podcast, Death Stuff.
Death Stuff.
Hosted by me, Bonita, and Mika. Mika.
Who is me? Mika.
That's he. Today, we're going to be doing something a bit different. But before we start, I thought I should just tell you that I spoke to my mum before we started recording, and she said, this time, I've just got a few tips for you. A bit less swearing.
Oh,
stop
God.
Saying fuck so much. Fuck, fuck, fuck. And stop saying a lot, which is, I know, I listened back and I was just like, every 3 seconds. So sorry about that. I'm going to try to do that less this time. Hello, Virginia. I was going to say this fuck is for you, but that's really... Jesus Christ. Right, do you know what? Fuck the chit-chat. Let's just get straight into it. So this week, Mika is going to be hosting and telling me about various different... Well, you know what? I'm just going to pass over to you because I don't really know what to call it. So over to you, Mika.
No, neither do I. And this is like our profound professionalism just shining through as ever. So we were going to be talking about burial methods. But as I've gone through, I've realized that the far more interesting parts of these, the thing that ties them together, I suppose, is that there is death.
Well, that's in keeping with the podcast, isn't it? So great.
Well, that's good. So I'm a step ahead already then. So various different funeral celebrations / traditions, I suppose.
Okay, so like ways of disposing of a dead body, basically.
Yes. Not always dead, but yes. Oh. So this is why I've been so excited to tell you about these things, because what I think, obviously, I think we, as a disclaimer, we are two very unqualified idiots, and anything we do say may be given in evidence. However, we are just experiencing these things as we see them, so any reaction is purely based on our own ignorance, and please don't take offence. that being said, I thought it would be a bad idea to rate these, seeing as these are, you know, like
cultural
customs.
Yeah.
However, it might be interesting to see how we would feel about having this done with our body or such to a friend in this day and age. Could be interesting.
Okay, so you're just going to school me, basically, and then I will tell you how I feel about it.
So I'm great. Teaching you something.
That'll be a first.
So after 18 years of friendship, I'm finally going to teach you something.
It's about bloody time.
Feel free, as a listener as well, to go and fact check any of this and tell us how wrong I am, because I'm... Don't expect after listening to one of these shows to learn anything or come away. I would say if you quote Death Stuff on something that is a fact, then you are wrong.
And also, who would ever want to be associated with us anyway? Like, I don't think they would.
No one. That's why it's still just you and me, still here.
No one else listening in the world.
So, well, I guess we could try and guess what they are again. But let's just start off with what I think you probably know this one. What do the words Viking burial mean to you?
Something very theatrical, maybe with like swords. I don't know why I've got a vision of the Game of Thrones chair with like loads of daggers and stuff. Does somebody get burnt at the end of it, maybe? I don't know.
Okay. I expected you would know this one because you're a bit of a Viking.
I mean, thanks, I think.
It's definitely a compliment.
I'm pretty tall, so.
The I guess like when you say Viking burial, a lot of people think burial at sea, which in people's imagination would be that the whoever it is sent out on a boat full of their beloved items and such, and then village men light arrows and set the ship ablaze. Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah. So is that what it is?
No. Oh. In fact, that was actually quite rare because to the Vikings, their boats were obviously extremely precious and expensive. So although contrary to popular belief, it was not a very highly used method.
Were they put on a like ramshackle kind of raft instead with like a flag on it or something?
Oh, sorry. Just so excited that I dropped the microphone. With me.
Oh dear.
No. However, boats were used in a way, in a symbolic way. So just bear with me one second. So a lot of people, the two main methods of burial for the Vikings were actually cremation or burial. So not right. as exciting as you may have thought at first. But a lot of the gravestones were shaped like into the shape of a boat, which we can show you guys later. And they would often have big dugout graves in the shape of a boat and put family members all together. Some noblemen were, however, buried in their boat, which is lovely. So in Norse mythology, that's really hard for me to say, boats symbolized safe passage into the afterlife. On the same vessel that aided their lives, so aided them into the Viking heaven, I suppose.
Yeah, like a symbolic kind of goodbye.
Yeah, exactly. So it was a lot less theatrical, shall we say, which I thought, when I got to this part in my research, I thought, well, why am I going to mention this? Because actually, I mean, it's fun to debunk things, I guess. But then I carried on. I carried on reading. And the Vikings are known for their raping and pillaging.
Yeah.
Would you say?
Yeah.
So,
yes, definitely.
So I found an article on history.com, which goes on to say one Viking site in Flakstad, Norway, contained multiple bodies, some of which were decapitated in a single grave. Based on analysis of their diets and DNA, it was determined that they were likely slaves who had been sacrificed to spend eternity with their former masters.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, that's nice that's of them.
Not even the end. That's not even the end
of
it. Oh, my
God. There's more?
Women were often taken in as sex slaves as part of Viking culture. So the idea that they would be sacrificed with their master is feasible.
That's
what it says in the article.
Really horrific. But I'm also not that surprised just because of the mentality of the time. They obviously didn't respect women very much and they were seen as sort of assets.
That's definitely a theme in historical burial methods.
Really?
Anyway, so this poor lady has spent her life being a sex slave. And then is murdered. However, this goes on further to say that based on an account from a middle-aged traveller, Ahmad Ibn Fadlan, one instance of the funeral of a Viking chieftain included a sacrificial female slave who was forced to drink copious amounts of alcohol. then... Sounds fine so far.
Yeah,
then,
I was going to say, sounds great.
Where does this go? Then raped by every man in the village as a tribute to the deceased.
Oh my God.
From there, sorry, not laughing at her, she was strangled with a rope, stabbed by the matriarch of the village, known as the Angel of Death, and then placed in the boat and set on fire.
I mean, I don't really know what to say because that's awful.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not that surprised, but that's horrific. And men are pigs, presently excluded.
Yeah, I would just agree with that, really. Like, okay, you do what you want. Do what you want with the body, right? But why do we then have to have this horrible death party for this poor lady?
So, did they behead her as well?
It doesn't say, but I mean, sure, why not?
They beheaded people. I guess maybe it was a symbolic thing to show that in the afterlife they were lesser
maybe
their masters. I don't know. I'm just completely making this up, but
yeah, I mean, this is what I, you know, this is the warning that you guys got before. We will make things up and say them as
it's what we do.
So not as theatrical, much more nasty is a word.
I mean, if we were rating this, I'd give it a 10 out of 10 for nastiness, but we're not, we're not rating
that,
today.
I think that's a fair rating to give. So yeah. In regards to today's day and age, I guess, you know, you probably wouldn't want this happening in Dalston.
I mean, I like the idea of when I die, maybe my enemies are slain and buried somewhere away from me. But yeah, I mean, obviously the whole concept of having a slave and a sex slave does not resonate with me. So, no.
I mean, I mean, colleague, maybe, to help you out if you're working in heaven or hell. But yeah.
I really hope that when I die, I am not sat on my laptop working in the afterlife. That would suck.
How do you know this isn't already hell?
Well, it's pretty close to it. I can't really lie.
I mean, the coffee flows freely, so bring it on. Yeah, I think we can just like draw a line under that one and say that the Vikings were very nasty.
Yeah, that was lovely. Thanks for that.
They loved a party.
Yeah.
So the next funeral, I guess, disposal is if I say it out again, just see where it takes you, I suppose.
Okay.
And this is a Tibetan sky burial.
I may know what this is, but I'm not entirely sure. Is it when they have a cliff face and have the coffins hanging on the side of the cliff? Or is that something completely different?
It is.
Oh, no. I know what it is. What it is. It's when they leave the body out and then I think birds eat the corpse until it's completely gone. And then the monks sit and watch. And then the ascension of the birds is supposed to symbolize the ascension of the body going to heaven, I guess. Is
yes,
it?
Exactly. It's exactly it.
Damn,
that's some good bird burial. They actually name the vultures as Dakinis, which means sky dancers, and they are their equivalent of angels. So,
wow.
Again, no disrespect, but those
angels
are sure,
just like yeah, sure ripping some you to shreds.
They're definitely some angels I wouldn't expect.
Yeah. I mean, do you know what? Symbolically, if you can separate the visuals of a body being pecked for God knows how long, it's quite, in a way, beautiful. But then yes, the reality of it is really gruesome.
Well, this morning I was finalising this one because this was the first one that I started to research. And I agree. I do think it's beautiful. At 8 in the morning before your first cup of tea when you see the process of this happening.
Graphic
photos. Not so much. However, I'll just go back. I've got some information from Ancient Origins, an article by Marina Soma. Thank you very much. It's also known as a celestial burial. And within the Tibetan culture, it's existed throughout civilizations. It sounds obviously quite alarming but to us, but within their values and philosophies, it's a very beautiful and virtuous method of burial, I suppose. By feeding the local birds and wildlife, they are obviously going back to nature and feeding animals of which they have consumed throughout their lives.
Maybe is this something all that still happens to this day?
I think it does. It's obviously, yes, it does still happen. Obviously a lot less commonplace, but it happens for, I guess, like the llamas and things like that, as in human llamas, not the animal llama, because when I was reading this at first, I was... I'm just going to say it. I should just say it, shouldn't I? I was reading it saying the amount of llamas that are present depends on the, like, the how high up the person was in stature. And I was like, oh, that's so nice.
Just a nice day out for the llamas.
Gathering of llamas. But then it says that sometimes the llamas dissect the body. And I was like, wow, that's horrible.
They're really smart. They've got like PhDs and doctorials and they know what they're doing.
I've gone really hot at my own stupidity. Llamas with
swords. I mean, if I was reading that, then that would also be the first place that my brain would go. So
don't feel too
bad about it.
Not alone.
I mean, yeah, I had heard of this very briefly. So thank you for educating me further. It's, yeah, as I said, it's quite... It's obviously a very precious thing in certain cultures, so I'm not going to say anything bad about it. And, you know, the symbolic side of it is, as I said, it's quite beautiful. But now that I think about it, I actually do wonder if it would be a nicer way to depart this earth over sitting in, well, not sitting, but laying in a... coffin in the ground and having maggots slowly just sitting up 6 feet down
just really crossing your arms waiting impatiently
reading a book listening to our podcast.
Where are the maggots, mummy?
So yeah, I do actually I like it a lot and I wouldn't be too I mean, I don't want it to happen to me, but it's not the worst way to go.
I mean, I suppose when you go, you know, they are already dead, so it's not like they're...
Well, exactly. You know. It's not like you're alive and having your eyeballs pecked out like you're sat on the boat, so...
It's very eco-friendly.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah. I do actually really like this one.
So that being said, all the beauty and meaning aside, obviously you mentioned the reality and the methodology behind it, which I saw in graphic detail, and I will not share. Obviously, we are not about sharing, you know, photos of departed loved ones and things. However, the ceremony is led. They basically wrap the body up at home. They leave it for a few days. They have, you know, chanting and all things like that. I won't go too far into that. Take it up to the mountainside. They through divination, they find its location to be left. And then the burial master or bone breaker, gets to work.
A great name.
Yeah. So you basically what they want to do is speed along the process and aid the process of the flesh being consumed by the local vultures. The master would be in charge of smashing and grinding the bones of the deceased body and then leaving the prepared corpse out in their selected open site.
Oh, wow.
In the village, whilst this is going on, all of the dogs that they own are tied up because of the fear of, obviously, you know, bit playful times. I've seen photos of... Yeah, I've seen a lot of photos, basically, and I'm scarred, but... Whilst this is happening, hundreds of vultures surround the area. And it's amazing. It is a crowd of vultures, which is like high pressure work, I guess. So not only do they smash and grind, they make paste out of some of the more gristly areas, I suppose, to make it more palatable to the smaller birds. It's not, you know, just a few limbs chopping off. It is literally... ripping down the body. Yeah, it's quite amazing, really, and it does still happen, so we do need to be mindful.
It's very, I mean, that aspect of it is much more graphic than I had heard. I didn't know that was a part of it, but I suppose again it's the whole ritualistic symbolic side of it, which we probably as Westerners can't really comprehend because you know,
because we're just so white.
Yeah, exactly. But I really like this one. I think it's great.
I do too. I think it's really, really beautiful. And f- funnily enough, one of the comments under this article I read was simply a lady called Sue saying, "Can I have this done, please?" Sue, sure.
Give us your address. We'll be over in about 10 minutes.
I think practically these days here, not great.
Yeah. But
I do think it's lovely. I mean, I definitely want to be eaten.
Okay, then. Shall we move
on? What would it be here, though? My cats. I mean, I'd be fine with that.
Well, you hear a lot of stories, don't you, about people with cats dying alone in their flat, and then the cats get so hungry and then just devour the corpse.
That sounds like a good podcast to make.
Yeah. I'd like to think that my cat loves me enough to not eat my deceased body, but knowing my cat, he definitely would. I don't even think he'd wait until I was dead, to be honest.
He's got teeth as well.
Yeah,
teeth,
he's very...
with an F.
Teeth.
Toothy. But sometimes I let my cats bite me hard because I feel sad or lonely, and it's like...
Because I need the pain to feel alive.
Pain is pleasure.
You dirty goth.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Speaking of being a goth, I was listening to VNV Nation earlier and having a lovely old time.
I've been listening to loads of goth music recently. I found a great goth playlist on Spotify that's just a mixture of like trad goth, slime light, techie, dancey goth, just everything.
I really go for a big slime light dance, to be honest.
Honestly, when I found this playlist, I was listening to it and getting serious FOMO. For those listening who don't know what that is, it's fear of missing out. And just being so sad that I took for granted all those nights, those wasted nights really, at Slime Light, dancing away until like 6 a.m. or whatever it is.
It's definitely going to be different now though, isn't it? Like, we are old, there's a barbecue there, obviously, you know, things. I think you'd see it with different eyes now.
Yeah, I mean, I went back, I think it was one of the anniversaries, maybe like 20 years or something like that, and it was very different. They've got a tube train in the middle of the room, and as you say, they've got a barbecue, which isn't really
vibe. Also, when we were of the age to go to Slime Light,
weren't of the age, we were underage.
You were. I was actually, sadly, because I am very old. I remember just like seeing the people that worked at Cyberdog as like the upper echelon of life, and
no, it's so true. And also, there were so many like different social circles there. Like, there were the teeny goths, there were the kind of older ones, like the Mansonites, and they were the fucking cool ones. They had like the immaculate, pristine makeup, all the piercings. They were old enough to get tattoos. I was so young that when I walked in looking at these people, I was just like, wow, you're amazing. I want to be you.
Then you, being 7 foot tall woman, obviously always stood out anyway. So that
I'm
really
not
helped.
Quite that tall, but thanks. Thanks
so,
for that.
So kids, here's two old timers reminiscing about their clubbing
two
days.
Old goths.
Two old bloody goths. Anyway, just to mention, back to our actual job of the day, just to mention that these days they do have obviously issues with tourism, and the morbid curiosity of such a sacrificial practice. They actually do now invite tourists down, but they're not allowed to take photos, which sadly is not, obviously hasn't worked, because I have seen them all. So, yeah.
Westerners ruin everything, don't they? There are a lot of things that
we have
ruined by going to various places in the jungle and trying to pay shamans or shamans, however you want to say it, to take part in ritualistic kind of drug experiences, to have spiritual experiences. And this is probably a long story for another podcast, but there was actually a guy who was a schizophrenic who kept going back to have these various, I think it was ayahuasca, I think that's how you say it, sessions, and he ended up killing the, I was going to say wizard, but she wasn't a wizard, the sort of village witch, I guess, mm-hmm. who was this really lovely, frail kind of elderly lady, very spiritual person, and was admired by everyone in the community. And he killed her. I think he shot her. So that's, yeah, just basically white people, us, stop like going to places and ruining shit for everybody.
It's like the uncontacted tribe. I know that any sort of like interaction with Western society, if you're in an uncontacted tribe, it's really dangerous just because of all the, you know, diseases and things that can happen. There was a guy last year, a Christian, what do you call them?
I remember this, and he insisted on going to speak to them, and they killed him with arrows, didn't they?
Yes, yes. And then they wouldn't, the authorities refused to collect his body because it was so dangerous, and there was quite uproar about that, but I think fair enough, you know.
Well, Christianity, I think, like most Western religions, in my opinion, are dangerous and stupid, and obviously have given this guy a weird sense of, I don't know, authority, or seems to think that
definitely not a normal behavior, like forgetting about whatever religion he is, like to walk into a massive rainforest with a Bible thinking that.
It's just so arrogant though, isn't it, to think that, you know, God is going to protect me and blah 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 blah. Well, you were
wrong,
mate.
I don't even think that's like a Christian, like it's not even like one religion's like method, is it?
It's a crazy person thing to do.
So that's a great segue into my next thing. Okay, so this one is it's hard to know what words to use. Okay, this one is a good one.
Okay.
So you probably won't know the word, but have you heard of sati, also called sooty?
No, never.
Okay. It might help you if I say that it's also known as widow burning. I have another article here from The Practice of Sati, Widow Burning by Linda Heafy. So quite a lot of information from that article. The sati is the practice among some Hindu communities by which a recently widowed woman, either voluntarily or by use of force, commits suicide. Surely that's an oxymoron anyway.
Yeah, exactly. You can't be forced to commit suicide. I think that's murder, my friends.
I don't know. Okay. Listening to this might make me want to do that. Anyway, so if her husband dies, she is coerced or volunteers, of which there are many articles about voluntarily doing this, to burn to death on her husband's funeral pyre.
Oh, wow.
There are other forms of sati, including being buried alive and drowning.
Is that something that happens to this day, or
not legally?
Right.
So it was outlawed. I do have that information somewhere. I might come to that, but it was outlawed for being just extremely cruel.
Yeah, that's awful.
So the belief in these some Hindu communities in India was that the ownership of wealth and property between the wife and the husband, since the husband would die, all of that wealth would go to her. It was seen as very virtuous to volunteer to then distribute that wealth amongst your family by basically killing yourself. The women committing sati were encouraged by priests who received the best item from the woman's possession as payment. And the relatives of both families who received all the women's remaining possessions and untold blessings. So general peer pressure would be at play. The alternative to not volunteering or doing it was that you would be shunned. You'd have to renounce all social activities, shave your head, eat only boiled rice, and sleep on thin, coarse matting. To many, death may have been preferable, especially for those who were still girls themselves when their husbands died.
When we started this podcast, I thought it was going to be fun. But right now, I'm not feeling good vibes.
No.
I feel quite sad.
Oh, no. I don't want it to... Well, I mean, I want this to be happy.
It would be weird if I was happy after hearing that. Yeah. But I mean, that's... Again, I don't want to be disrespectful to any religious communities or otherwise, but I think that's just really, really horrific. And I think everyone can agree that's murder.
I think that there are instances where, you know, you can say, actually, no.
Yeah, I'd like, rather not die, to be honest with you. And, like, no disrespect to my partner, but if he died and then left me a shitload of money, the last thing on my mind would be killing myself so my mates could get 50 quid. Like, no, just no.
I love that your idea of wealth is 50 quid distributed between your friends.
Well, I'm just thinking because I've got so many friends, they'd only be able to have about £50 each once the wealth
all
is distributed.
All five of them. Thanks,
just you.
Tom. Yeah, I think there's definitely times where you can go, okay, I respect your religious choices, but killing a woman...
Yeah, that's really
so you can
horrible.
Get her nice possessions. You're allowed to say that's not okay.
Well, okay? I'm glad that it's... outlawed now.
Well,
yeah, I would assume that from your face and the way that you're telling the story that it still does happen. Mm. But the acknowledgement is there that it's not a
I
nice
think that
thing
it
to
is
do.
It is
and it's
widely
illegal.
Yeah, it's well yeah, it's widely regarded as cruel and unnecessary. Obviously, women have come a long way in their rights. Not saying that we're there yet, but you know what I mean.
I guess it also depends on your view, the individual's view of the afterlife, because there might be some women or people who would think, yeah, this is great because then I will go into the afterlife and be with my loved one.
Yeah.
So it's kind of subjective to a degree, but...
Well, by committing sati, they are virtuously giving up their life, so it's not considered suicide. So, you know, that might come into it. There's a lot of coercion and peer pressure that goes into it. I'm just going to go into this article a little bit more because there's quite a lot and I think it's really interesting. So the next part, this is where it gets a little bit more crazy. So she goes on to say, it appears that at least in some recorded cases, the women were drugged. And an observer describes the woman as likely under the influence of bhang, or marijuana, or opium, but otherwise unruffled. So she's like really cool about it.
Wow.
After she was lifted upon the pyre, she laid herself down by her deceased husband with her arms around his neck. Two people immediately passed a rope twice across the bodies and fastened it so tight to the stakes that it would have effectively prevented her from rising had she attempted. So maybe not as virtuous as it seems. So once the reality of burning to death became obvious, many women tried to escape. Because wouldn't you?
Yeah, it's your natural reaction, I guess.
Yeah. So measures and implements were put into place to ensure that they could not. So often the bodies were fastened down with poles or logs. And then if she did manage to escape, she and her relatives were ostracized by society.
Oh, wow. That's a lot. I just feel profound sadness now for those poor ladies. And also... can you imagine being married to a person that would actually want that for you when they die? Like, that's got to be a bit of a douchebag as well, really, hasn't it?
Yes. As in, yes, I can imagine.
Help. Blink twice if you want me to come and set you free.
I feel like, wear yellow, Brittany.
Oh, poor Brittany.
I don't know. Brittany's in Hawaii. She's having a great time. Like, you know, she's...
Well,
she's
didn't she recently
it.
Say, you know, leave... Like, everything's fine. I was going to say, leave me alone. But
yeah, it was
leave
definitely...
Leave Brittany alone.
Definitely a convincing video, that. So... I am sorry to have made you sad, really. But that is the history of men treating women like absolute garbage.
Yeah, it's pretty intense.
It's pretty intense.
I don't know what else to say, to be honest. I just feel...
Well, I mean, I think we forget that, like, there's a definite bloodlust in humanity, and that the village would all come down to watch the show, basically. So there's a part of, like, that where, obviously, we've moved on slightly. I mean, there was a big sati that happened in the 50s with a royal member, and it does still happen to this day. However, it was banned in 1827, because it had no sound theological basis, not because it was extremely horrible.
Wow. There's Jesus Christ.
There's articles of people saying that they, it's a shame that she escaped because we missed out on the amusement of her burning to death.
Well, fuck those guys.
Yeah, what a shame, you know? I don't know. Eating boiled rice and shaving your head doesn't sound too far off from this year, does it really?
That's definitely a 2004 Britney moment.
Yeah, yeah. Bit of boiled rice there for you Britters. disclaimer, I love Britney Spears. So I guess what we're going to do now, those were the main stories, and I'm sorry for making you feel uneasy, sad, or sexually aroused.
What?
Wait, what?
Who said
so
that?
I'm going to now just name some more versions of funeral and see what you make of them and have a really great time doing
it. Hopefully it's only up from here, because
there's one that I think you'd really like. So Bonnie, are you ready?
I'm ready, let's do this.
Okay, what do you make of the word words strangulation funeral?
I mean, the word strangulation itself implies that the person is not dead. So, is that not just a murder?
I guess if you add funeral onto the end of any murder, then is it fine?
Violently stabbing in the face funeral.
Shot dead funeral.
Oh my god.
Wow.
Like a shotgun wedding, but just at all.
He used the funeral excuse.
That would hold up in court, though, probably, let's be real.
It definitely would in America. No offense, Americans, but it's true. So a strangulation funeral is a morbid tradition of the South Pacific island, namely Fiji. And it involves strangulation. When a person died, it was tradition to kill someone who was a close family member or friend to them.
Oh my god. What is it with everybody's obsession with somebody dying? It's almost like you're so bitter that, you know, you're in the afterlife that you have to take as many people with you as possible, or at least person.
I think obviously it's not the dead person's choice, is it? So like, they may have lived a life where this happens around them, they then die, they've not got a choice. But I think within their reasoning, it was that they would face death, they wouldn't face death alone. So again, kind of a virtuous sacrifice in a way.
I like the idea of not facing death alone, but not, you know, because somebody's been murdered in my name.
Yeah, I would start separate. If you, you know, if you started to get poorly, God forbid, I would definitely end our friendship. Because what if I get chosen? It's like, oh, he was a good friend. Yes, he
the chosen one.
you just cough and I'm like backing away from you. Like,
ooh. So you just ghost me basically until I was a ghost.
Yeah. And then I would never be alone. So a bit more detail from a UNESCO article here. For example, prior to the 1800s, following a chief's death, a major sacrifice involved the strangling of people like the chief's friend, his favourite henchmen, servant, and many women, including his wives, and sometimes his mother as well. Their bodies were placed at the bottom of the grave like grass, known as coco, thotho, I think it's pronounced, over which the chief's body was then placed. When Christian missionary intervention, with Christian missionary intervention, this sacrifice changed from strangling women to just cutting off their index fingers, which were buried with the chief.
What, before the finger?
Yeah.
I'd rather have my finger cut off, obviously, if that's a choice between death and...
Yeah, I think it was like a, I think it was like a trade-off, maybe. The Christians were like, you can't do that. And they're like, well, we've got to take something with us.
We need flesh.
We need...
So obviously that is not practice anymore, because that is just sheer murder. But again, with the women.
Yeah, it's a common theme, isn't it? Of just killing the people around the deceased one. I don't know. Very strange. It's strange that these vastly different cultural circles have had that same process in their brain to think that's a good idea. I don't know. It's all very bizarre. But again, just feeling quite sad about this. It's horrible.
I think I've caught you on a bad day today, haven't I?
no, it's just like, it's a lot. Like these, I think with the previous episodes that we've done, it, because a lot of the methods were practiced such a long time ago, it's very easy to disassociate from that. Whereas if these are things that are still happening...
No, I mean, this one is not...
Albeit they shouldn't be happening. Yeah. But yeah, it's just, it's horrible. It's very bleak.
This one definitely doesn't happen anymore. It's about 150, if not 200 years. I did, whilst scrolling through, you know, various pages, come across a... someone had clearly decided to make a slideshow for this method. Right. And I will have to share one of these. But from Prezi.com. And it says, so how do they choose or whatever? The chosen one. It is frowned upon if the wife of a deceased man doesn't offer to be the person to accompany him to the afterlife.
I mean, at that point, I don't give a shit if I'm frowned upon. I know. I don't want to be buried in a hole before my time. Thank you very much.
Frowned upon. Like... Come on, having, you know, like, the wrong curtains might be frowned upon, but, she didn't kill herself!
But I guess the impact of that is that, you know, within these tight-knit communities, you probably would then be an outcast if you...
Yeah.
Just horrid. Horrid. Let's move horrid. On. I don't like this one.
Okay, the next few ones are quite happy. So, how would you react to a jazz funeral?
Is that a New Orleans funeral in the street with lots of dancing and singing and musical instruments?
It is exactly that.
That is just magnificent, in my opinion. I would absolutely love to go to New Orleans and see all of the mausoleums and the graveyards. That would just... ironically be my idea of heaven. But something that I really, really like about this and that resonates with me is that it's such a community uplifting experience, celebrating a life rather than, you know, mourning the death. So I would absolutely love this kind of funeral. To be fair, I don't think when I die, many people would turn up.
Oh, so come on.
It would
on
probably
now.
Just be really? One lonely man playing a trumpet, which would be quite sad. But but no, I think this is
me.
Lovely.
And I can't play, so it would just be really awful. Say,
just tooting away on a recorder.
Just out of my arse.
God.
I lay next to you, just farting.
That's a special trombone. I love it. I think it's really, really lovely. And
I think that, like, the New Orleans, like, celebration of life and death is really beautiful. Like, obviously, it's all very colourful, uplifting. They do begin the procession with the music being played very, very slowly. It is a song called I'll Fly Away, which has been used in many rap songs, namely Kanye, and P. Diddy used it in I'll Be Missing You. But then they continue to speed up the music until everyone is dancing. The party can go on all day, all night, and to the next day. And our friend Lucy, shout out again. Hello.
Hey, bitch.
We should get her on just as like a Bez character.
We should, definitely.
And Lucy attended just a street parade, which was to honour a deceased lady, and it looked absolutely amazing.
I remember this. I think I saw photos of it. It just looked great. I think, just like I said, in general, the whole sense of community there is just so, from what I have seen and read about is just so lovely. And I feel that when you compare something like that to a typical funeral that would happen in this country, it's just so kind of stoic and nobody's allowed to really, you know, it's just sad and everyone's gloomy. And yeah, obviously that's what death is. And it's horrible saying goodbye to a loved one. But I really just love the idea of having the celebration rather than sitting around crying. But even, you know, I'm obviously there's going to be crying at these funerals, but the dancing will kind of elevate it to a different, I don't know, I guess you feel so many different emotions at something like that. And it's almost joyous in a way.
Yeah, I think like we really focus on the sad, don't we? Where, I mean, obviously everyone has their own way and own right to have a funeral however they would like.
Yeah.
But it does tend to be a time of just mourning and black and sadness that we focus on.
Another thing is that the funerals that we have, or the funerals that I have been to, shall I say, it's... In my opinion, when somebody dies, it's almost like, okay, you've had your funeral, you've had your wake, you have your allowance time to grieve, but then people just expect you to get over it. And that's not how emotion works. That's, you know, if you've had somebody in your life for however long, it's not easy to just say goodbye and then shut those feelings off. But another thing about this kind of jazz funeral, and you know, as you were saying, that Lucy saw not even a funeral but obviously something that happened after after the fact.
Yeah,
it's okay to not forget this person. It's okay to continue to celebrate them, you know, years gone by. And it's the same with Mexican culture as well, like Day of the Dead. I love it. I'm fascinated by it, and I think it would be actually really quite healthy for people in, I don't know, England or, you know, other Western cultures to actually adopt these kind of mentalities.
We do have a very strangely unhealthy relationship with death and departed loved ones. But maybe more on that another time, because I really want to tell you about the next one.
Okay, let's do it. I'm excited.
Funeral strippers.
I know what this is.
Well, of course you do.
Because I'm one of them!
So am I! Nobody needs
Surprise!
That at the funeral. You think you're crying now?
Wait till you see these baps. No, I mean, yeah, I don't know exactly which culture this is. I think it might be Asian, but I'm not... That's a very broad statement. But yeah, it's to... uplift, I guess, and make the funeral a more desirable place to be, so they would bring strippers in, which
exactly, I mean, just it, yes, you've hit the nail on the head there. It's originated in Taiwan, but it's also used throughout China, more in the provinces rather than in the main cities and things like that. I've written here in my notes, basically strippers at a funeral. That's,
I see,
like, as far as my research went there.
I see nothing wrong with this. I think it's great. No. If that's what you want at your funeral, more power to you. More power to sex workers, strippers, whoever, you do your thing.
So there has been some controversy over the use of strippers who, in particular, do get completely nude with their, you know, lady area and lady area. Oh, my God. What am I
lady
for?
Garden.
When there are children present. I don't think that the majority of them are getting completely, you know, legs akimbo.
I hadn't even considered that there would be children present. I think... there's a lot that I could say about this. Like, sex can either be actually genuinely, strippers rather be, can actually be really sexy. Mm-hmm. And, you know.
Yeah, all the photos that I've seen.
It can be comical and they're in on the joke. Like, we had a stripper at your
funeral.
I was going to say bachelorette party, but you're not a lady.
Well.
We weren't objectifying this person because we found them attractive and it wasn't making us aroused, but it was a fun, uplifting experience that was like funny and everyone was in on the joke. But
well, speak for yourself. I was extremely aroused and objectifying. Not really.
His name is Tyson Brown. He's the best stripper ever.
I have never been more embarrassed in all my life. But
my favourite bit was where he picked you up and spun you upside down. So your head was in his crotch. Mm-hmm. It was great. I thought that he was going to drop you and maybe break your neck, but luckily he didn't. But anyway, so yeah, I think great strippers, cool. Just don't have children around when they get their minge out, because that's weird.
That's just a really good rule in always life. So there's just one little tidbit here. In 2017, 50 pole dancers performed during the funeral procession of former Chai Yai City Council speaker Tung Sang in Chai Yai City. Obviously I've mispronounced that, but
well, you tried.
Just 50 pole dancers. That's
that sounds
the
like
guests.
A fucking sick party. Like, yeah. I'm sorry, but that sounds great. This is the kind of thing that I can envision when, you know, somebody from Motley Crue dies. Like, when Nikki Sixx dies, this is going to be his funeral. And it's
and, like, all the girls are, like, whipping their hair around. And it's sexy. And there's, like, black tears. And it's just, like... It's basically a music video waiting to happen, isn't it?
It's basically The Fox circa 2005. When I used to work there. Yeah.
Being sick in a cup.
Shush now.
Do we not... I was going to say, do we not mention that?
I don't care. I really don't care. I threw up behind the bar in a cup because I was doing shots and then carried on like normal. It was great. Mm-hmm. It was one of the best times of my life, actually.
That was just par for the course, though, there, wasn't it, really? Yeah. What a great venue. A three-floor, like, bloody music venue. We don't have anything like that.
Oh, that was Sin. That was at Sin.
Oh, Sin. You worked there, and you were also sick in a cup there, just FYI.
Yep.
So I'm wondering, for me, if I couldn't have a, not a jazz funeral, but like a diva funeral with funeral strippers. So instead of jazz, it's pop music from...
It's Britney.
It's basically pop music from 1996 to like 2003.
Yeah.
With strippers, male strippers and female strippers and everything in between and not. So just everyone nude dancing to the Spice Girls. And my body is being carried through. But also ripped apart by vultures.
It's Britney, bitch.
My funeral is everything we've discussed all at once.
So basically, Dan and I are getting sacrificed then.
You guys are being sacrificed whilst all our friends dance around to strippers.
Naked. I mean, I'd give you a finger, and I mean that in the literal sense of cutting it off.
Is that before or after I go?
Both. I mean, why not? But you know what I mean.
Well, thank you.
Oh my God.
That's just the thing I needed to send me on my way. Oh my goodness. Well, I don't think we can top that. So let's wrap it up there. Thank you very much.
God, that was brilliant. You know, fuck, I can't even speak. I'm glad we ended on such a high note, because that was mostly 80% was horrible, I would say.
That was a journey.
It was. Thank you for ruining my evening.
You're welcome, as ever.
Oh God, I'm out of breath. Yeah, so that was fun. Thank you everybody for listening, and thank you also for subscribing, because we noticed today that we actually have 95 subscribers on Spotify, which may not sound like a lot to most people, but to us it's actually really lovely. That's
95 more people than I know.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I don't even know 95 people. But
yeah, who are you guys? Thanks. Hey.
Another thing that I wanted to mention is that we've also added a new feature to our podcast where you can send us a voice note. So if you click on the link in our Instagram bio, there is a link in that link saying send us a voice note. So you can just record it on your phone. It doesn't have to be fancy, obviously, because we ain't about that life. You can make suggestions for future podcasts. You can correct us on things that we've talked about and been horribly wrong about. You can just send us general abuse if you want. I mean, we'd love to see it. So, yeah. Also, give us a follow on Instagram. It's at deathstuffpodcast. And we just want to say thank you so much for all the support we've had, because we've had so many people messaging us saying, you guys are really funny, which, I mean, we were the only ones really.
That was me and you messaging each other.
And just blocking out the name, pretending it's from other people. Yeah, we actually have zero listeners and it's just us. So, yeah, it's just really lovely. And I got a really nice message from a friend saying that they had been really depressed that day and just laying on the sofa in misery. And I won't say the name because I don't want to out them if they don't want to be. So, yeah, they said that we'd cheered them up, and it made my heart tingle. It was lovely.
It's nice. Well, we're basically like unloading 18 years of friendship into the microphone and
the internet.
Hello. We're still on the internet. Still.
I know. That's how we met. Mika and I actually, I think we maybe talked about this in the first episode, but we met on a blogging website called melodramatic.com, which is gone now, thankfully.
Maybe a mini-sode. Yes, sorry. You were going to say maybe a little episode should be us reading our odes to each other and trying not to die.
I mean, I don't think I could stomach that. When I was at Mika and Dan's wedding, I did a speech and was talking about this and said, and now I'm going to read a poem that Mika wrote for me. Everyone was so excited, and the look in Mika's face, he looked like he was going to puke. And then I said, I'm only joking, I don't have one. But everyone was actually genuinely disappointed and came up to me afterwards asking me for this poem. But I would never do that to you, because I am your best mate and I love you.
I love you too. Thank you ever so much from me as well, guys. Bye.
Bye.